Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 99. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, and this is...
Chris?
Hi, dudes.
Dude?
Why is he wearing a Red Wings jersey?
Dude, did I lose a bet again?
No, I think we won a bet.
Yeah.
That's right, to our listeners. We have the famous Wings fan in Sharks Land, also known as
Chris.
Here in the Dudes on Hockey studio,
who is drinking an adult beverage called Landshark Lager, which he graciously brought and is now drinking.
Yes, and it's time to pay up on the bet. And we had a little bet with Wings fan that we promised to explain to our listeners, and this is how it goes. With the Sharks beating the Red Wings in the conference semifinals in five games, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was five.
Oh, that was just not as...
Should have been seven.
Oh. Here we go.
Here we go. It begins.
Just like those guys and the Muppets in the balcony.
Yeah. Or those guys in the green suits of Vancouver, like showing their junk to the guy in the penalty box. Look at my green junk.
That worked out real well.
Yeah. Oops.
Maybe they should have tried stopping the puck.
Yeah. Well, Sal did that with his junk.
That's true. That's true. That poor bastard.
I know.
Anyways, Chris has to sit here today on the podcast and pay up. And we're going to throw it to Chris every now and then, and he has to read whatever the dudes wrote for him to say. So we're glad you're here. He's provided beverages for us on the podcast. Chris, you're the man. He brought an inflatable Stanley Cup. He's wearing his Darren McCarty Red Wings jersey.
Yeah.
And he has a freshly shaved look. I mean, he looks, Chris had quite the playoff beard going.
Yeah, he did. He had like the whole thing. It was nice and bushy.
Yes, it was. And now he's got like this handlebar
Fu Manchu thing.
Like motorcycle mustache.
Yeah, sort of like a Lemmy thing.
Yeah, I feel like
James Hetfield.
All you're missing is the leather pants.
Well, he does have the Darren McCarty jersey on.
That's true.
Which kind of fits? Does that come with bankruptcy papers or?
Oh,
and it begins. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Okay,
you're not sorry.
I'm really,
dude.
Not.
We're going to the conference finals.
First time in a little while.
How sorry you can be, and we're meeting the Chicago Blackhawks.
Not happy about that,
dude. This is the beginning of an awesome rivalry.
It is. It is. I just hope that the Sharks come out on top, because otherwise it's going to be really painful.
A lot of Sharks blogs, including our own at dudesonhockey.com, have been talking about how the Blackhawks and the Sharks are potentially the future, right? I am
the future.
The future rivalry of the present. What? What am I talking about, dude?
Dude, you're saying they got good players and so do we, and we're going to fight to the death in this series, and it's probably going to go seven games in my estimate. Did I just give away the whole show? Are we ending now?
Good night.
Thanks for listening. Oh, wait. Chris didn't even read anything. You know what that sound means. It's time for Chris to read something.
Todd Bertuzzi just isn't the same player he used to be since the incident. And by incident, I mean his sex change.
See?
That's true.
It's
now, we
true.
Did notice that Todd Bertuzzi in the series was avoiding contact from Douglas Murray.
That's right.
He had a great game in game four, which, you know, we won't spend a lot of time talking about because that would make Chris a little bit feel too good about himself.
Right.
You know? But Bertuzzi in game five, and we saw it ourselves, dude, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't like a piece of Douglas Murray. No,
he had Murrayitis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Avoiding hits all over. And, after talking to Mark Smith on the radio show last week, I think we know why. Mark Smith said, I wish I had the clip. I should have pulled it. But he said that when you hit Douglas Murray, it feels like you're hitting a guy that weighs 500 pounds. Like, the guy is so solid. He's never hit a guy more solid on his skates than Douglas Murray. Uh-oh.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Now that the Red Wings have lost and I have lots of free time, I've been taking in classic Bollywood films. My recent favorite, Bangladesh Bertuzzi, is featuring lots of whining.
See?
I've seen it.
It's going well so far.
I've seen it, you know?
I'm sure it has that dancing, too.
There's that great, huge chorus scene where they all dance and sing and complain to the media. And unfortunately, the ending is sad. They all die.
Right. And then Bertuzzi says, it is what it is. That about is? 1,000
it's
times.
True. Yeah. It's true.
There it is. But very exciting series. I don't think anybody picked the series to go only 5 games except for E.J. Raddick.
But on the wrong side of it,
he was
too.
On the wrong side. Oops.
The Sharks had tenacity on Saturday, dude. It was awesome. And the way, even though they fell down 1-0, and I think everybody got a little puckered in the arena, and I'm sure Chris was getting all excited, you know, because it was up 1-0. You could feel the comeback coming. You're not Montreal, man. You're not Montreal.
Those one goal leads didn't do very well for us the entire series.
It didn't go so
them,
well.
Them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then that didn't last very long, did it, dude?
I mean, I don't know.
The lead was evaporated. I think looking here on the power play, Thornton scored 2 minutes and 14 seconds later on the power play. And then Marlowe's third period goal, and then the longest 13 minutes of our lives.
Pretty much. But what a goal by Marlowe. Holy crap.
Fantastic.
And for some reason, Marlowe was about 20 feet out of the goal. No one around him, and Thornton has the puck. This is eerily reminiscent of the Marlowe overtime goal where Brian Rafalski chose to cover Thornton, the good passer, and cover the shot instead of the great scorer Marlowe, and they connect again, and Marlowe one times it off the post. What a rip.
It's not only great to win this series, but it's great to see the top line come through and be really, you know, nabby aside the reason why we did win.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Now that the playoffs are over and Thomas Holmstrom isn't blocking the vision of goaltenders, he has been shipped to the Gulf of Mexico to use his ass to plug the oil leak.
See?
Very effective. I mean, he's been blocking the vision of goaltenders for the last two rounds.
I'm glad he's finally committing himself to public service.
Yeah, good for him. I'm glad that he has the time.
I'm reminded of a Simpsons joke, and those of you who love The Simpsons, this is the first time my dad's butt has actually been used to stop the flow of toxic gas, for those of you that have seen that episode. So,
a reason why Holmstrom wasn't as effective in Game 5, dude, was the return of you-know-who.
Hamburgers.
That's right. Hamburgers was back in the lineup. Nick Wallin makes a very dramatic return to the San Jose lineup, and we're all very excited about that. And even though he played only a shade under 10 minutes, 9 minutes and 55 seconds, it's a pretty effective 9:55, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so. 2 hits, nothing else on the score sheet, 17 shifts, some shorthanded time, no power play time. I'm happy with what he did. He had good passes, played smart. Exactly the reason why we got Nick Volley in the first place. They played 7 defensemen, which I thought was a little strange. So I guess they were shifting centermen because they had so many. Is that the strategy there?
A little bit extra time for Nickel, maybe. You know, I didn't see Demers take any shifts on the fourth line, but Heilmanen was pretty bad in Game 4. Seems like Ortmeier's just not himself. So when Wallin's healthy, if you can have the opportunity to have him playing more the even strength in the shorthanded time, use Demers as a power play specialist. Formula's working. Do you think they're going to keep this up in the next round, or are we going to see maybe with these extra days Ortmeier return?
I think we're going to see somebody return because looking at this time.
Staubitz? Brad Staubitz?
I hope not.
No?
Demers only played 542, almost a third of it on the power play. So they had, let's see, that's 4 guys under 10 minutes. I just don't like that kind of ice time.
Who do you sit then? You can't sit Demers. I think that's a big mistake.
Then you sit Huskins or you start playing Demers on offense, I think. Because I don't like, you know, McGinn played 333. Volin played less than 10, as you said. And Nickel played less than 7.5. So I don't like seeing, Ryan Clough with 21 minutes and Patrick Marleau with 22 minutes.
Right.
I just, you know, it's not good. I think that Chicago is going to wear them down a little bit if they insist on doing that. And I think that was one of the problems with Detroit is I don't think they played their fourth line a whole hell of a lot. So that can Well,
they actually did. You know,
they played Lebda only 258, and they played Draper only 658. But everybody else is pretty spread out. Actually, Abdulkader had less than 9 minutes. So,
Abdulkader.
Is it Abdulkader? Thank you. See.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. I'm not that bummed that the Wings are out of the playoffs. Now I have time to host my Sex in the City 2 party. Cosmos and shopping on me, you hobags.
See?
That sounds like fun, man.
That's something I learned about Chris today. I wasn't aware he's a big Sex in the City fan.
I got to tell you that we're a little busy the next 2 weeks because we got some playoff games to watch.
But yeah.
You have a good time with those Cosmos, and we look forward to seeing those Gucci shoes.
Thanks, buddy.
Jimmy Choo's.
Oh, Jimmy Choo's.
Whatever they are. Did I just give myself away?
Oh, dude. Not too good. Not too good.
Not too good. But, yeah, I think it was a result that really kind of nobody expected. 5 games, nobody picked it. Everyone was picking the series to go long. All close games, Sharks victories. What can you say?
Let me ask you 2 questions here. First, yeah. When Pavelski misses that, you know, penalty shot.
Yes.
You know, did you think
by
that?
A mile.
I know. Did you think that that was the turning point in the game in the wrong way? I felt terrible after that moment.
Yeah, I didn't feel so good there either. Actually, you know, one moment that sort of sticks out in my mind is Scott Nichol had a slam dunk and Howard came up with a monster save in the third period that would have given the Sharks a 2-goal lead with, I think, 5 or 6 minutes left. And I thought to myself, geez, the Wings up tying, that could be a huge moment. And I thought those 2 things were really pretty key in the game. And the fact that the Sharks managed to weather the storm both ways didn't go their way. So
the holding penalty in the last minute, you know, was surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, but, and I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty. I mean, honestly, from where we're sitting, it's kind of hard. And I didn't see a replay of it. But for them to pocket their whistles the entire period and then call it at that point, they must have really felt like it was pretty blatant. And oh man, that
major was 2006 flashback.
That was super, super, super torture.
Yeah.
Because if that game had gone to overtime, and as we've seen in all the other series, you know, anything can happen. And the Sharks, you know, any other year, they would have lost that game. I mean, you know, I think everybody was half expecting it. Still, we're still waiting for it all to fall apart.
And I have to admit, they took the penalty, and the next shift, there was Patrick Marleau coming to defend. And I'm like, oh, please. Oh, God, no. I mean, everybody remembers the Marleau missed block shot or whatever, or the turnover, and then the goal, tie the game, Matthew Schneider in overtime. I shouldn't be going there.
We shouldn't be speaking about this. We should turn it over to Chris.
No, let's talk about it.
Nope.
Chris, speak when spoken to.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I hate Jimmy Howard.
Yes, you do.
Very good.
So, Chris, let me ask you this. Do you still trust in Jimmy Howard, or do you think the Wings need to actively look for someone else?
Chris Osgood Jr. won't be old enough to play in the NHL for another 17 and a half years.
Okay, so you're waiting on the future Osgood. Do you think, if you're the Red Wings moving forward and you're Ken Holland and you know that Yuri Hudler's coming back, obviously that doesn't fix everything. This whole business about Lidstrom retiring, I don't buy it.
No, I don't think that's happening.
What do you do? I mean, do you... Does their experiment with these Jason Williams and Patrick Eves and Drew Miller and Bertuzzi in his second tour of duty with the Wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep those guys?
You said duty.
I did. Do you keep these guys or do you, what are you looking for?
Well,
for Ken Hall,
I think the Wings still have a pretty decent core, right? You build around Dotsuk and Zetterberg and Holmstrom and Franzen. And if Lindstrom keeps playing, you keep him. Sure, maybe you tweak and you get Eves out of there, or you do what you can. Maybe they don't like Jonathan Erickson anymore, but if they can find a decent goalie, they're still going to be really good next year, assuming that all those guys don't quit. Although I can see a good opportunity for them making another acquisition from the Blackhawks. Maybe they can go get Cristobal Hewitt. I'm sure the Hawks would, I'm sure the Hawks would love to give him.
He's probably available.
I think so.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. In order to bolster our ice capades, Ken Holland has signed future skater and culinary icon Brian Boitano to a 1-year contract worth 500,000 sequins. When asked, Holland was quoted saying, "I love a power forward in tight pants."
Yeah.
maybe that's our answer.
That's
in terms of, you know, what the Red Wings need to do.
Fourth liner.
They could sign
Masur in the locker room.
Brian Boitano, or perhaps trade for Kyle Wellwood.
it's close.
It's pretty close. So, okay, so natural transition here.
Yeah.
Canucks, Blackhawks series is over. We know it's the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to town, dude.
Not happy.
Watching that game last night, Vancouver.
Crush them.
Oh, man. I mean, what do you get from that game? Are the Blackhawks that good, or are the Canucks just not that good?
Well, Canucks D was banged up, right? We talked about the aforementioned Sammy Salo took a puck in the sensitive area.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And he played.
He still played.
Unbelievable.
Anybody asks why hockey players are the toughest in sports, you say Sammy Salo busted a nut, literally, and then came back and played 2 days later. So that's what it is.
I mean, the reports were he ruptured his testicle.
I know.
Now, they're claiming, come on. If that really happened, there's no way he's out there, right? Grebishkov missed.
Didn't Lidstrom miss?
Yeah, he did. Didn't Lidstrom miss a couple?
I don't know how much he missed.
But was it last year?
He missed some time. It was last year.
Yeah, two games. He missed two games in the Hawks series, right? And then Grebishkov missed weeks when he took a puck in the package, right?
Maybe it wasn't like a full-on rupture then. Maybe it was just like a really, really painful bruising.
Do these guys wear cups, right? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I...
But, you know, if you're getting hit with 8 ounces going 75, 80 miles an hour, that's, you know, that's going to leave a mark, whatever you're wearing. Ask a goalie. They wear the stuff all the time. Oh, what do we have?
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. I once shoved a 5-pound octopus down my pants and smuggled it into HP Pavilion for a Justin Bieber concert.
That's Bieber. Justin Bieber.
Oh, shame on me for not knowing that.
I love how
you don't talk back.
I love how you flubbed that one on purpose to show you don't have his CD.
Yeah, I saw that in your car. Good try.
The Justin Bieber name on the back of your jersey doesn't give it away. Bieber. Oh, man. So we are left with the Hawks.
We're left with the Hawks. Not very happy. I don't know if our offense matches up favorably. I don't know if our defense matches up favorably. I know our goaltending matches up favorably.
Oh, let's look at this piece by piece. All right. The scariest thing about the Blackhawks is Hossa, Toews, and Kane, right?
Absolutely.
They're definitely the scariest thing. You know, this three-headed monster. You know, when you're worried about the Red Wings, you're worried about Datsyuk and Zetterberg. Now it's just you've added another, you know, player to the combination here and made them even more dangerous. Beyond those three guys, we know about those three guys. Who are some other forwards on the Hawks that you think will give the Sharks their full attention?
Well, big breakout game was for Dustin Byfuglien in that one Vancouver game. He had a hat trick and he was sort of taking the...
Didn't he have two more goals last night too?
Oh, man, I don't have his whole stats
in
front of me.
I think he did.
Dustin Byfuglien's going to take the place of Tomas Holmstrom in front of the net, except he weighs about 50 more pounds. I think he's going to be even up with Douglas Murray. That's going to be an interesting battle to see Douglas Murray and Dustin Byfuglien in front of the net. And I don't know what the strategy is going to be. It seems like the Sharks' strategy for the Detroit series was to not joust with Holmstrom in the crease and provide a double screen, just sort of try and clear pucks out and make sure he doesn't get the bounce off the pads, and hopefully Nabby can look around the screen there. But Dustin Byfuglien's going to have problems. Don't forget, you know, Dave Bolin's a pretty good third line center. They got some serious firepower all up and down the lineup, and I'm not excited to see anybody on the team except for maybe Brent Sopel.
Now you're jumping to D, but before we get to that.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. When I shaved my playoff beard, I decided to go for the full Brazilian. So here I am, boys, freshly waxed and ready for the conference finals. Call this look the Patrick Kane.
We've seen him in those photos in the limo.
That's true.
You know, no shirt. You know, he looked like freshly waxed, all those guys.
Yeah.
Ladies, be aware, if you see a limo with Blackhawks in it, just stay out of it downtown San Jose.
I just quit my job to become a taxi cab driver.
20 cents a day, that's all you're going to get.
Well, let's talk about the D here.
Yeah.
All right, Brian Campbell came back from injury. I think he's got nine games, only 2 points. Not extremely dangerous in these playoffs. And we know Campbell can be vulnerable in his own end. It is not known for his toughness.
Not exactly a physical player.
Duncan Keith has had, you know, an up and down playoff statistically. But we know he's a great player.
Norris candidate.
Probably Norris winner.
Norris favorite.
Should win.
Should win.
And Brent Seabrook, you know, Olympian, good second banana, great number two defenseman. But then after that, you know, you've got three kind of marquee guys, and then you've got three kind of lunch pail guys.
Yeah.
Tell us about Hjalmarsson, dude.
Yeah, Hjalmarsson's a Swedish defenseman I think people remember. He put the hurt. He actually injured a shark this year. I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Pavs?
Mike Greer. Oh, sorry. I know when I think about injured sharks, that's who comes to mind first.
I'm thinking some sort of history with Hjalmarsson, but he's sort of a stay-at-home defenseman, 3 points in 12 games, but he plays a lot. He's the fourth. He's their fourth guy, so yeah. I think he's probably going to be playing with Strawberry Shortcake there and sort
Brian
of
clean Campbell.
Up, yeah, clean up his mess a little bit because he's not going to be jumping into the play too much. And then they're 5 and 6. I guess they're using a guy, Jordan Hendry, who has no points, -4. And Brent Sopel. So I guess the strategy is certainly going to be play Seabrook and Keith as much as they possibly can.
But then who's going to... So if you've got those guys playing... Now, if you're Quinville, you've got to play them against the top line because they're the hot line.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think that Klo and Pavs and Seto can just eat Campbell alive?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting matchup because Campbell is not going to match up physically well against Klo at all.
Against Seto either. I mean, Seto is not that big... but he can hammer you, you know, and Pavelski's having an awesome playoffs, even though he hasn't shown up statistically in the last two games. I mean, his motor's really still been running. I think that's where the Sharks are going to have a big advantage because, I mean, as much as we picked on Vlasic and Blake in the regular season, they've been damn good in the first
solid.
Two rounds of the playoffs. And I think they're up for the task in terms of shutting down the second line and, with Wallin and Huskins, I certainly would rather have them than Hendry and Sopel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So on the defensive end, I think the Sharks have the advantage, dude.
Yeah, not the top end talent, but maybe the depth they got better. Because you're right. I don't know if you really want to count on Brent Sopel. And Vlasic and Blake have been a nice surprise. There's no question about it. Those guys, I don't feel bad about them facing Patrick Sharp, Dustin Byfuglien, and Chris Versteeg, which is probably going to be their second line. So that's a matchup that I'm not super scared of.
Pavel Datsyuk has been nominated for the Lady Bing, which is Russian. In Russian means shifty, fragile woman with wooden stick. Congrats, Pavel.
It's got to be the worst award to be nominated for in the NHL.
Repeatedly, too.
You're so gentlemanly.
Yeah. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Hasn't Patrick Marleau been nominated for speech. Before?
What's that?
Hasn't Marleau been up for that one before?
Yes, I think so. And he lost.
He did. He's too manly.
Best day of his life. Day lost to Lady Bing.
Oh, man.
All right. So that leaves us with goaltending. So Niemi, I think we've talked a lot about before. 909 save percentage, 2.57 goals against. Not great numbers for this guy, and he can be beat. I mean, I said prior to the last series, Jimmy Howard can be beat. We found out that was true. I'll say the same thing about Niemi. Niemi can be beat.
Yeah, he in game one, he gave up 5 goals. In game four, he gave up 4 goals. In game five, he gave up 3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And save percentages under 90% in 6 playoff games so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not that scary. I mean, you look at Nabby, he had 1 bad game. Well, okay, 2. He's had 2 bad games.
Right.
And it looks like Niemi's had 6.
Right.
So I will certainly go to war with Nabby here on this one and say if the Sharks can continue the formula that they did against Howard, which, you know, we could see with Couture and just throwing the puck at the net and good things happen. Niemi is not going to be the difference in this series in a positive way for the Blackhawks.
Well, the question is, the Blackhawks are number one in the league in shots allowed. They let in the least number of shots, and that was sort of, you know, shielding Niemi from the onslaught. So I think the Blackhawks were not that terrible in that area in the first couple rounds, and that's going to be the key. If they don't allow a lot of shots, then they can win the series. But if if the Sharks are still able to get their shots and Pavelski's been shooting like crazy, Marlowe's been getting a lot of shots on, they do that, they're not going to be able to count on Niemi. They're going to lose. If they give up 30, 35 shots a game, they're going to be in deep trouble.
Right.
Nicholas Lidstrom has enrolled his son in school in Sweden. When asked for comment, he said, Gersh, Gurndy, Morty, Birdy, Burndy, flip, flip, flip.
I think he's a chef in the off season too.
I was especially proud of that one.
It's good.
So let's talk about the special teams here. Yeah. When you look at the Vancouver-Chicago series, Vancouver's penalty kill was just horrible. We talked about it on the radio show. It was, you know, 64% or something. It was really, really bad last night, too. Mm-hmm. So is the key to this series more than anything just keep the Blackhawks off the power play? And on the other side, don't give up a shorty, for God's sake.
Yeah, we're thinking back to that game in November where the Sharks gave up a record 3 shorthanded goals, 2-1 penalty, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I think that's a huge key. Jonathan Toews has gotten really hot. He's got 20 points in 12 games. 4 of his 6 goals are on the power play. You know, 2 of Patrick Sharp's 5 goals are on the power play. You got to keep these guys off the power play. It's just that simple. And I think, you know, Thornton said it in Pollock's blog today that, you know, he knows how determined Toews can be. And you give him extra ice, it's going to be really scary. You do not want Jonathan Toews looking around with time and space and the puck on his stick. That's just, it's scary stuff. And he's shooting like 18%, which is, you know, really, really good as well.
They've had 3 shorthanded goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's scary. The other thing that jumps out to me when I'm just looking at general stats here is the Blackhawks face-off circle are under 50%.
Yeah, which is different than the regular season. They were really good in the regular season.
So that's something where it seems like the Sharks might really be able to victimize them, because the Sharks were at 54% for the playoffs. And, you know, Boston is at 54.5. Sharks, I'm sorry, are at 53.1. So, you know, they seem to have had an advantage in that way, you know, in both series that they played. So that's another little thing for us to lean on in terms of feeling good about this series. I haven't looked at the Vegas odds. If you're in Vegas, who do you think would be the favorite in this series?
The Wings.
Just for that. Right. Give them some.
Take this one, man.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. We have a podcast like this back home that covers the Red Wings, but it's called Dudes on Unemployment.
You deserve that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You speak when spoken to.
Yeah. So. Actually, Mike Chen wrote a post about the winning percentage of teams that are ahead in the face-off circle, and it's actually a little bit even. So it's kind of interesting that there isn't... it's not a great correlator to wins, although, you know, the Sharks obviously have won, and they've done well in the faceoff. But the Blackhawks and Vancouver Canucks series, the faceoff winner was 50%. They won 3 and lost 3. Same with the Penguins and Montreal series. I don't know the stats tonight. And with the Bruins and the Flyers, the faceoff winner is only 3-2. So while that will be an advantage, that's going to be something that the Sharks particularly have to take advantage of, like power play faceoffs. Because like maybe that was just sticking in my head, but in the Wings series, it seems like every power play faceoff the Sharks had was lost.
Right.
And you know, you'd basically just tick off 15 seconds off the power play every time that happens. And it seemed to happen time and time and time again.
So, online sportsbooks have the Sharks as a minus 109 favorite. They have the Blackhawks at minus 101, which is almost even money.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, since you are a unbiased party here, who are you taking in this series?
I can't pick the Wings, right?
No, you can't.
No,
pick
you can't.
A team that's already been eliminated.
I say Sharks in 6.
Oh, I like
that.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Sharks in 6.
I'm going to second that.
I'm going to go Sharks in 7.
Sharks in 7.
Yeah, I think this is. I think the Hawks are definitely a tougher opponent than the Wings were. It's going to be close. It's going to be really, really close. And I, you know, there's not going to be this 3-0 jump out. I mean, I hope they win game 1, or else I'm going to have a heart attack. But I'm going to have a heart attack anyway. Let's just face it.
I'm trying to remember here, and I'm looking back at their playoff record, but if I remember right, it looks like the Blackhawks were 5-1 so far. They've won 5 in a row on the road here in the playoffs. Yeah, they've won 5 in a row. So That's not good news.
No.
That's not good news. So you certainly got to figure this is important to win game one.
Right. You know? And I hope that...
When game one is, we still don't know.
Yeah, we still don't know. It could be Friday and it could be Sunday. I don't know which I'd rather hope for. Does Chicago even have any meaningful injuries here? Is there anybody that's really banged up that
needs... Kim Johnson, but I think he's sort of out indefinitely.
Yeah, he's not coming back, right?
No, so, I don't think so.
So there's really not going to be a huge swing either way. It might actually benefit the Sharks. You know, they had, you know, Marlowe obviously didn't look himself, at least to us. And Heatley had an injury, Vallin, and Ortmeier.
You're going to love Heatley and Klo were so concerned about the Vancouver-Chicago matchup last night that they went to the Giants game.
Of course.
They weren't home scouting or watching the game. They went to the
Giants.
They'll
get plenty of video, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I just like that. They were on the pre-show, and Greg Papa was leaning into them a little bit, and Heatley admitted he doesn't like the Hamburger Lion nickname.
Oh, okay.
He's looking for a new nickname.
Hamburgers.
He didn't like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of hamburgers, dude.
Yeah.
You wrote a post today on the blog. Tell our listeners about it a little bit.
So I saw something on one of the many hockey blogs I read called Hockey or Die, which is a guy named Jonathan Willis, who writes some really good blogs. He wrote a post today saying that Nicholas Vallin has signed a deal to play in Sweden, which I thought was very strange for two reasons. One, the timing. I mean, we're right in the middle of the playoffs. You usually don't hear about contract negotiations when a team's still in it. And two, it's like he's not even over his contract yet. And they said he may not even play this coming season and maybe a season out. That's just weird. I must admit, I'm skeptical about that. Aren't you?
I think it's a pack of lies.
A dirty pack of lies.
I don't even know if that's something that you can do. Like, he's under contract right now. I don't know if he could sign, maybe because it's an international team. It doesn't matter, but...
I gotta admit, that made me a little sad. Not just because I have all the sound effects.
Don't worry. He's not going anywhere.
Because I kind of want to see him re-signed. I kind of do.
We saw the best picture on Facebook from one of our listeners on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually has a graphic that says number 7, and above it, it says hamburgers, as if it's on a Sharks jersey.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty impressive.
It'd only be better if it was an actual Sharks jersey.
So in the Eastern Conference, dude, we saw Montreal wipe out the Penguins.
What a shocker. They scored with a minute in. 5-on-3.
So I want to take it back. All right, we said on the radio show that the Caps were the bigger chokers. There's no doubt the Penguins are the bigger chokers here.
You think so?
Yes.
The Caps were up 3-1.
So were the Pens. Right? Yeah. No? Oh, no.
No, they weren't. It was 2-2.
Oh, no. I've been corrected by a Red Wings fan.
Good argument, dude.
That's good.
Do we have anything left for this guy? Make him read something.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Did you know that Johan Franzen was recently voted to the NHL's hottest gingers list? He comes in third place right behind that sissy Brian Campbell and everyone's favorite ginger, Carrot Top.
There you have it.
Yeah. He's getting better at the reads as the show goes on.
I think it's the beers. let's put that as our poll question this week in terms of who's the bigger choker. Is it the Caps or is it the Pens? Even knowing that the Pens... Okay, it was tied 2-2, right? Mm-hmm. I still going with them being the bigger chokers. They had a clear path to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they blew it.
We could honestly see a 7-8 Eastern Conference Final. That's got to be unprecedented, right? It has to be.
We were talking about that before we started recording. I can't remember a case where now the Flyers are going to have home ice.
Talk about a gift. Well, they still have to win. I don't know.
They're winning right now. There's only 8 minutes left in that game. 6 minutes. It's 2-0. And you got to figure, I mean, that's going to game 7. The Flyers have everything going in their way.
I believe it. And not just because we have money on it.
And I think I heard someone talking about how the Bruins, without Krejci in the playoffs, are winless. Mm. So,
yeah.
I never thought he was going to be that much of an impact player, but you look at some of the guys they've got running out there tonight for Boston. You know, they've got Steve Bégin. You know, they've got Sobotka.
Yeah.
Whitfield.
Who?
Whitfield.
Huh.
You know, Yeah. Walt Whitfield. Don't you love his work?
Brad Whitfield.
Trent Whitfield.
Okay.
Yeah, Trent Whitfield. He played a whopping 16 regular season games this year. Mm. He's playing in a huge playoff game right now, so that guy probably spent most of his time in the AHL this year.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, speaking of the AHL, our Sharks are out.
Worcester Sharks are out. Stockton Thunder are out.
Mm-hmm.
Stockton Thunder lost.
Only the San Jose Sharks are left.
That's right, and that's the only team that really truly matters.
Let's root them on. Dude, I got to talk about episode 100. I'm trying to get something together to have episode 100 at a local drinking establishment.
Oh.
If we...
Will Wings fan be there?
If we have it, will he be there?
Oh, heck yes. Okay. can I say hell? Hell yes.
Okay. Oh, yes.
You can say that, even though it's a family show. But yeah, I'm looking. It's not confirmed yet. I don't want to give all the details yet because, you know, I don't want to let anybody down. But I'm hoping to nail that down maybe in the next couple of days. Of course, I'll be posting on the blog and on Facebook and everything else. And hopefully people can come, maybe even participate a little bit in the recording of the podcast.
We've heard how well it's gone tonight.
Yes.
Actually, it's gone quite well, and you've been a good sport, you sissy loser.
Yes.
I have one question. Am I the first in studio guest?
You are.
You are. You are.
And, so, he's and probably the last.
Took you 99 episodes to do it.
The way this is going, you're the last one. Anyway. But no, he brought the inflatable Stanley Cup, which we appreciate. He brought the beers, which we appreciate. And most of all, we appreciate the Wings laying down like dogs. So to that I say, dude. Good podcast. Go Sharks.
Western Conference Finals, here we come. And I guess the way it's going right now, I mean, it looks like game one's going to be on Sunday. It's either going to be at 11 or 4. So
there it is.
There are our choices. And then we've got Chomp Talk, hopefully, Sunday night.
Yeah, hopefully Sunday night. Tune into that. And, of course, tune into the podcast again next week. Same time, same place. Lay down.
Say goodbye, Wings fan.
Goodbye, Wings fan.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.